Friends, a compromised gospel will always produce compromised fruit. You will not believe some of the fruit, the bad fruit that's being produced today in America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it was Leonard Ravenhill who said the only people who want to change the gospel are those who are unchanged by it. Have you heard the latest best-selling author, pastor Rob Bell, now came out publicly saying, yeah, he supports a man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman. Is it any surprise, given how far he has deviated from the gospel in recent years? Is it any surprise that this is the type of fruit being produced? Michael Brown, great to be with you this Monday. Thanks for joining me on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can connect with me online at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook or Twitter, hashtag Dr. That's D-R Michael L. Brown. We posted this morning an article that you'll find very helpful. What's the difference between holiness and legalism? What's the difference between holiness and legalism? It ties in with so many critically important issues in the body today, because for many, the moment you preach standards, the moment you preach holiness, the moment you talk about right and wrong in God's sight, the moment you talk about what he requires of us or asks of us or what it means to walk worthy of the Lord, or what you could say are the responsibilities that come with grace, the moment you talk about these things, you are branded a legalist, putting people into bondage. And that's one reason so many people are straying so far from the heart of the gospel and the heart of the Lord. 866-348-7884. To read my article, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you'll find a link that will take you right there. Before I get into the heart and soul of today's program, I want to share something on a personal level that was encouraging to me that I want to encourage you with as well. I turned 58 on Saturday, and honestly, 58 feels younger to me than 57. I feel like I'm getting younger. Some folks spoke that to me some years ago, Mike, you're getting younger, the Lord's making you younger. It's kind of a funny thing. No, I do not expect to defy the aging process, but I feel very young at heart, and by God's grace, I'm in good shape and healthy. Well, a lot of people posted on Facebook. If you were one of them and I didn't get to acknowledge, I apologize, but we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people posting greetings and kind words and happy birthdays. And sometimes when I'd get back on the page, it would say 150 people posted. I couldn't even access all of them. But there was one post from a gal that I knew in Island Park, grew up in Island Park, which is right next to Long Beach on the south shore of Long Island. And she said, I distinctly remember you preaching to me when you were 15. So I posted back. I said, it must have been 16 because I got saved at 16. She said, yeah, you were on this street with this fellow, my best friend then, who's fallen away from the Lord for many years, whom I've often prayed for in tears. And she wrote this. She said, you and John had the word of the Lord on your lips. You were preaching the gospel. She said, it made a lasting impact on me. She said, then 20 years later, so she got saved after that, some point after that. She said, 20 years later, you were preaching in a church on the island. She goes, and I got delivered from smoking cigarettes then. And then she said, she came with her husband to visit us in the midst of the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. We prayed for them to have a family. They've had four kids since. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, that's pretty much all of my life in the Lord through the years. And it had an impact on her all these years. And I thought, well, if we can just stay consistent, friends, if we could just stay consistent in our walks with the Lord, if we could just stay steady, hold to our convictions, love Jesus, love other people, you never know the lasting impact you can have. We're going to come back with some shocking fruit from shockingly bad teaching and preaching.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Simple principle, very simple principle. Everything in God's kingdom reproduces after its own kind. Truth produces truth. Love produces love. Corruption produces corruption. Falsehood produces falsehood. It's an inevitability. It's the way God set it up. And that's why God is not mocked. Galatians 6, whatever man sows, that will he also reap. It is the way God has set it up. Therefore, even if he does not seem to be doing something about a particular problem, he's never mocked because he set things up in a way that will reap what we sow. Unless, of course, we turn to him for mercy, in which case we can now reap the benefits of mercy. Michael Brown, welcome to your listener-supported voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Thanks for making a difference. Thanks for standing with us. Thanks for being part of a Jesus revolution in our generation, a revolution based on truth, based on love, based on the Spirit and not on human effort, human anger, intimidation. No, based on the things of God. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Look, I am not God's policeman. Neither are you. No, I don't mean that there's no such thing as a believing policeman. What I mean is God has not appointed one person that is going to fix everything. I am the policeman, and I'm going to check every doctrine, everyone preaching, everyone teaching, and I'm going to... Come on, that's just arrogant. Look, you should feel good about the church you go to. You should feel good about the denomination you're part of, if you're part of one, or the house church movement, whatever the group is. You should feel good about that enough that you can commit to it. You can serve there, and you can be served by the ministry there and grow. But it's foolhardy and arrogant to think that any of us have every detail of every point right, and we are the ones who will decide. And I am the policeman, and I'm going to check everyone's... You didn't have the Hebrew right, no, the Greek right. There's an arrogance behind that, and we need to humble ourselves and remember Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. At the same time, you better believe it's important for us who are shepherds, who are pastors, who are teachers, who are leaders, to guard the doctrine that God's given us through the Word carefully, to search and study earnestly with humble hearts before the Lord, to keep our own lives clean, to not play around with error, but to expose error. And all of us have hills on which we will die, uncompromising areas for us, areas that we cannot deviate from. I wrote this 13 years ago in my Jesus Manifesto, which you can read for free online. The dawning of the 21st century finds the Church of America in a moral and spiritual crisis. Decades of self-centered living and worldliness have taken their toll. Years of compromise and toothless gospel preaching have had their effect. 10 years before that, so in 1990, so this is now 23 years ago, I wrote this in my book, How Saved Are We? For years, we have preached a cheap gospel and peddled a soft Savior. We have taught salvation without self-denial and the crown without the cross. We have catered to the unsaved and compromised with the world. Now we are paying the price. 23 years ago, I said, now we're paying the price. And others were sounding the alarm long before me. Some were sounding the alarm for America before I was born, seeing the direction that things were going. Tragically now, what I and others have warned about has run its dangerous and deceptive course. As I wrote in my article on Ministry Today, a compromised gospel produces compromised fruit. You don't have to look too far today to hear Christian leaders teaching that it's wrong to expect born-again believers to change their conduct, calling those who do religious, as if that's a bad word, or worse still, legalistic, if they preach repentance to the church and to the lost. Today, you can practice almost any sin, work in almost any ungodly profession, and still be accepted by many Christians as a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, we don't want to judge. So some of the examples that I've mentioned in the past that I'll mention again, A glamorous spokeswoman for conservative Christian values explains that, quote, I am a Christian and I am a model. Models pose for pictures, including lingerie and swimwear photos. Sure, because that's what the job requires. And if God's opened the door for me to be a model, then, hey, you're a beautiful woman, just model it all, right? Doesn't matter if you're going to be seductive image. Doesn't matter if guys are going to look at those pictures and lust after them, and that's the principal reason they even put them out. Oh, because God opened the door for me. God help us. A well-known rapper claims a conversion to Christianity and states, I love God, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm still out there thugging. Mm-hmm. He's been baptized, attends church regularly, and says, I still love the strip club, and I still smoke and drink. I'm faithful to my family, so I wanted to make an album where you could love God and be of God, but still get it popping in your life. Look, friends, it's one thing if these people were brand new believers and didn't know anything, and we were going to now lovingly work with them and help really introduce them to the Lord. Maybe they're professing believers and they don't really know the Lord. Maybe they're so brand new and they didn't really hear the whole message that they're barely in the door. But we're not going to sit there and give them a list of church requirements, do's and don'ts. And no, we're going to help them to really know the Lord. And as they really know the Lord, they'll turn from sin. And if they're that ignorant, then we'll sit down and start going through scripture with them and help them embrace the principles of God. That's called making disciples. Oh, but today, even talk like that in some circles, that's behavior modification, that's sin management, that's legalism, that's putting people into bondage. No, it's helping people come into freedom. Now, look, I'd be the first to say that legalism is terribly dangerous. Legalism is externally imposed religion. Legalism is rules from the outside without a change of heart on the inside. Legalism is judging everybody by your particular standard of conducts as opposed to helping them really come to know the Lord and grow in Him. The gospel changes us from the inside out. Legalism focuses on outward change and conformity. Legalism is terribly destructive, and because of legalism, many Christians flee from holiness. We need to live out and preach the real deal and call people to holiness without shame, and understand that holiness and grace fit like a hand and a glove. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'll come back to the Rob Bell situation in a moment, to the failure of the emergent church in many circles, what I call the celebration of ambiguity. I don't know. We don't know. How can anyone know? And people are like, yeah, I like that. I'm going to come back more to Rob Bell in the next segment, but just to say this quickly. And let's pray that God would really convict him of truth in a deep way. But what's the use of going to hear somebody speak if they don't know where they're going either? Or they're unsure either? Or all they know how to do is ask the questions without giving you answers? Stay home then. Don't read the book. Don't listen to the broadcast. If people aren't going to help you move forward. Oh, I don't know the way. Come to my tourist organization and how do you get there? I don't know. We don't know, but we'll have a great journey. No, I want to know how to get there. And I want to know that someone knows as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Stuart in Danville, Virginia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Michael Brown, we've met on about 6 occasions. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Where would have been the first or the last occasion?
Okay, I met you. We met in Times Square Church. I'm a little short guy that looks like Pastor Don Wilkerson, and I was a drummer, too. But And we met in Pensacola a few times. But never mind that part. That's another story for another day. It's really weird because I was actually looking up some old stuff about Brownsville, and I've been to Cooley's Church a couple of times in Nashville and blah, 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 whatever. And it's kind of weird because, you know, in Wilkerson's Church, oh, and I was going to ask you, is Ben Crandall, you remember Dr. Crandall, is he still alive as he died?
I'm the wrong person to ask, unfortunately.
Okay, never mind. Whatever. He used to come to Times Square a lot.
Yes, of
course.
But
this hyper-grace stuff. Now, I understand that the way I became a believer in Wilkerson's Church, obviously in Times Square, you know, on 51st Street, we were very hardcore. There was righteousness. There was doing the right thing. However, and then you look at the total other end of the spectrum, which is the Joseph Prince and the Osteen, who are, and I, how can we make a what we would say, get the best of all worlds and use that. I mean, because this is where it seems we all want to get caught in these fish bowls, and you got to do this. No, you can't do that. How do we get a happy medium to all this?
Yeah, Stuart, I wouldn't even look at it as a happy medium, to be honest. In fact, it was a conversation with David Wilkerson over 20 years ago that really, from him, encouraged me to study what the scriptures said afresh about grace, which I had been thinking about in the back of my head. And when he called me and we spoke and he shared that with me, I knew I was to do it. I don't think there's a happy medium to be found. I think there are some extremes, and there's scripture. And if we hold to scripture out of love for God, out of knowing him and desiring him, out of hatred of what's wrong, we're going to do what's right and powered by the Spirit. Thanks, man.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Blessed, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, and just click on The Line of Fire. All right, so news out today that yesterday Rob Bell spoke at San Francisco's Grace Cathedral and openly endorsed, quote, marriage equality. Now, let me first point something out. When gay activists and others and their straight sympathizers refer to marriage equality, they don't mean marriage equality. They mean redefining marriage exclusively for same-sex couples. Most of them are not saying we are for polygamy, we're for polyamory, we're for consensual adult incest. They're not saying that. Now, there are gay websites that I've gone to that say we advocate for all of these things. And others who say we want to see family unit marriage completely redefined from top to bottom. And it was 2011... New York Times, July 2011, published an opinions piece by Stanford law professor Ralph Richard Banks that essentially argues that American society has not achieved, quote, marriage equality by allowing same-sex couples to marry. He argues that polygamy and incestuous marriage between adults should be legalized in order to evolve to full marriage equality. This is a Stanford law professor. Quote, historically, both polygamy and incest have been more widely practiced and accepted than the Supreme Court and most Americans seem to believe. Over time, our moral assessments of these practices will shift, just as they have with interracial marriage and same-sex marriage. We will begin to take seriously questions that now seem beyond the pale. Should a state be permitted to imprison two cousins because they have sex or attempt to marry? Should a man and two wives be permitted to live together as a family when they assert that their religious convictions lead them to do so? Of course he's right. Of course he's right. Now, I totally agree with his perspective that this is where it's supposed to go. But is this a logical place where it would go? Of course, if you're going to redefine marriage more radically than polygamy, more radically than even incestuous relationships, if you're going to redefine it to say it's the union of any two people, it's now genderless, does not require a man and a woman. Of course it has to go in this direction. You say, well, it hasn't in other countries. Give it time. And what's in the courts already in America, these very things, and what's on the big screen in America, these very things, celebration of polygamy, celebration of polyamory, more and more movies with incestuous relationships, and on and on. Sorry, but it's true. What does it go back to? It ultimately goes back to the failure of the church to preach the truth, that so many have gotten compromised, so many have gotten worldly, so many have been influenced not by the unchangeable word of God, but by human opinion, polls, what the younger generation thinks, what's supposedly politically correct, what's enlightened, and on and on. So, according to Greg Carey, who is a liberal seminary professor writing in Huffington Post, this Sunday Rob Bell spoke at San Francisco's Grace Cathedral and openly endorsed marriage equality, so-called marriage equality. in response to a question regarding same-sex marriage, so-called marriage, Bell said, I am for marriage. I am for fidelity. I am for love. It's a woman and a woman, a man and a man. I think the ship has sailed, and I think the church needs, I think this is the world we are living in, and we need to affirm people wherever they are. What's that got to do with the gospel? What's that got to do with divine standards? What's that got to do with the word of God? Zero. Zero. Well, that's the world we're in. So we change. We change our standards and bring them down to the standards of the world. Come on, how many pastors have believed the lie that in order to reach their people, they've got to be relevant by knowing the latest movies and by watching all the trash and following the sitcoms and being able to weave that into their message? It's amazing that Jesus and Paul and an army of preachers and teachers and leaders through the centuries changed their world without ever quoting from a contemporary play or by saying, yeah, we were watching some trash last night, but there's some really good insights. Let's share them with you. I've often said, especially to my Pentecostal and charismatic friends, as a fellow charismatic, that a lot of our church activity is our frenzied attempt to make up for the absence of the Spirit. If we had the Spirit present in power, convicting people of sin, glorifying Jesus, and we preached the truth with love and without compromise, people would be changed left and right. Why? Because it's God's power. The gospel, the true proclamation, is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now check this out. Check this out. After Rob Bell says, we've supported policies and ways of viewing the world that are actually destructive, and we've done it in the name of God, and we need to repent. Tragic, he's calling us to repent of the wrong things here. Check this out from the article in the Huffington Post by Greg Carey. When the very Reverend Jane Shaw attempted to get Bell to take a firm position as to whether Christians know the truth in some ultimate sense, Bell veered in a different direction. I would say that the powerful revolutionary thing about Jesus' message is that he says, what do you do with the people that aren't like you? What do you do with the other? What do you do with the person that's hardest to love? That's the measure of a good religion, is you can love the people who are just like you. That's kind of easy. So what Jesus does is takes the question, talks about fruit. He's interested in what you actually produce. That's a different discussion. How do we love the people in the world that are least like us? So when this woman, quote, very Reverend Jane Shaw, attempts to get Rob Bell to take a firm position as to whether Christians know the truth in some ultimate sense, he doesn't answer it. Read the Gospels. Read what John writes in his letters as well. This is written so you will know that you have eternal life. There are absolutes that we are to know and hold to. And if we don't, friends, the ambiguity, the uncertainty will only cave in to the pressure of the world. All right. Many are praying for revival. Many are praying for outpouring. What does it look like? When God moves, how can we discern what's real and what's not? I have a 16-message series on revival, covering all the major questions you would ask, giving you a picture of historically how God has moved. It's normally a $50 or $60 series, but we put it on one DVD, one CD that you listen to on your computer or your MP3 player, just for $20. But hang on, we'll pay the postage on it and also give you free my book, The Revival Answer Book, that talks about how to discern a real move of God from a false move of God. You'll get that free. So together, $60, $70, $80 worth of material, just $20, postage paid. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And join this world-changing message and movement together. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter if you can. But call or order these resources, 1-800-278-9978. Or if it's easier, just go to my bookstore, online bookstore, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the bookstore. You can order from there. Your prayers, your gifts, your faith are making a difference here in Israel, in the nations.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Could it be that there has been so much hypocrisy in parts of the church that we are afraid to proclaim standards lest we seem to be hypocritical? Or could it be that we have often gotten caught up in legalism, externally imposed religion, laying religious burdens and our opinions on other people and calling it the gospel, that we have departed from preaching standards? Could it be that we have a certain perception of grace, and because of this perception of grace, we step away from preaching standards? I wonder, because we need to go back to preaching the standards of God in the church, declaring them to the world, and empowered by grace as forgiven people, living these standards out. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, to get in the discussion. In my article in Ministry Today magazine, Jonathan Kahn served as the guest editor for the current edition. It's especially for leaders, the magazine. You can read my article online. Go to Ministry Today and just search for Compromised Gospel or my name. I guess it's ministrytoday.com online. But Jonathan asked me, as he was the special editor for this issue, if I would contribute an article. So I wrote one called "The Compromised Gospel Produces Compromised Fruit." And I said this: more than 50 years ago, in his classic article, "The Old Cross and the New," A.W. Tozer wrote, "The old cross would have no truck with the world. For Adam's proud flesh, it meant the end of the journey. In contrast," he noted with profound insight, "the new cross does not slay the sinner, it redirects him." Today, we could take his insights one step further and say that the new cross does not slay the sinner, it empowers him or her. In other words, this is our 20th or 21st century gospel. Jesus came to make you into a bigger and better you. Jesus came to help you fulfill your dreams and your destiny. Put another way, the gospel is all about you, not Jesus. Scan the programming on Christian TV and listen to the latest hit sermons and take note of how often you hear messages about all the wonderful things God can do for you, including prosper you financially. Contrast that with how seldom you hear messages about the wonderful things we're called to do for the Lord. And see if you can count even five times in the last year that you heard a message challenging you to sacrifice in service for Jesus. And I'm not talking about making a financial sacrifice for the TV preacher. Yet Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." When is the last time you were stirred to the core of your being with those words? Yet their message runs throughout the Gospels and forms a fundamental part of the message of the Lord. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:3, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, as opposed to enjoy personal success with me as a good entrepreneur of Christ Jesus." And he exhorted Timothy to use the word to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, warning him that, quote, "the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And we have become obsessed with the need to be relevant, trying to become like the world to win the world. We want lost, confused sinners to know we're just like them. Is your life messed up? Our lives are messed up too. You'll feel completely home in our church. You'll really be able to relate to our pastor. He's up on the latest hit movies, even the raunchy ones. And sometimes he spices up his sermons with off-color language. We're not uptight religious people here. Oh, and people come flocking for that. Why? Because they don't have to change. Because they don't get challenged. We come back. I'm going to go back to the phones and read a poem to you called "Pablum from the Pit."
Fire we please, and the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, your listener-supported voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Best-selling author Philip Yancey said, "All too often the church holds up a mirror, reflecting back the society around it rather than a window revealing a different way." Should I repeat that? All too often the church holds up a mirror reflecting back the society around it rather than a window revealing a different way. 866-348-7884. We're talking this first hour today about the bad fruit of a compromised gospel that is now at epidemic levels here in America. Shelvia in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Certainly. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Doing well. I have a 13-year-old son who was so looking forward to being baptized and living for God and just wanting to be this Christian who, according to the Bible, glorifies God. And now that he is getting older, he's questioning that in his opinion, the Bible doesn't exactly say you can't drink. And he says that, well, everybody's drinking, and it looks like fun. And now that I can't always speak to him based on what God's word says, I find myself having conversations with him that have to do with it hurts your body, it impairs your judgment, you begin to compromise things that you initially would not do. It takes you outside of yourself. And I'm spending more time trying to reason with him from that perspective as opposed to just once upon a time we could say your body is the temple of God and you don't want to put those sort of things in your body. And he's saying how hard it is, even going to a party, you know, it's how hard it is to not so much resist drinking, but the idea of drinking because everybody's doing it, in his opinion, from what he can see and from all the commercials. And, you know, it just looks like so much fun is what he keeps coming back to. And it's unfortunate that, you know, I have to remind him that we have a standard, that we're set apart, that we live in the world, that we're not of the world, that the world is broken. And because the world is broken, the world is always looking for things outside of God to fill themselves and, you know, those sort of conversations with a 13-year-old. We have to have a standard.
Yeah, and Shelby, of course, you're speaking for many, many other parents. Of course, the best thing is you've got the head start and that he's been raised with these principles and convictions. And it is amazing to see how deep those are in life. Sometimes people go through challenges and even stray, and we're not saying that would happen with him, but they even stray, and yet because the foundations are secure, they come back, they gravitate back. But, you know, a few things. One is to really pray that he will have a radical encounter with Jesus, because that's the key thing that's going to get him through. When that happens, he's not going to be at those parties where people are drinking and doing drugs or pairing off and going into bedrooms or whatever, or talking about it or watching some trashy stuff. He's not going to be there because he's not going to want to be in that environment. And I don't know if he's a follower or a leader, but you need to, as much as you're able, cultivate in him the importance of being different and not going with the crowd. Because if he agrees that the end result is wrong, that drunkenness is wrong, that drunk driving is wrong, that getting drunk and sleeping with people you don't even know is wrong, then the way you avoid that is you don't even drink, you don't even touch it or play games with it, especially at that age. And if you could take them to the end of Proverbs, the end of Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 29, so it's Proverbs 23, verses 29 to 35, where it talks about the price of drinking, the price of, you know, and you look at the wine, it looks so good and so on, but when you drink it and you get in your system, what happens to you? If he could recognize, hey, I don't have to go with the crowd. A lot of times the crowd does stupid things. And you've never heard of someone after 50 years of drinking saying, I'm so glad that I've been a drunk all these years, but you hear plenty of people trying desperately for years to get free, and then those who've been freed by the gospel, they get up and give their testimony about what a wreck their life used to be. And he's old enough to listen to a message I preach called Acharit, and it deals with the final consequences of sin and righteousness. In other words, what's on the other side that you can't see now? And if you could, if you tell me if he would rather watch a 22-minute DVD, you know, professional, nicely done on the streets of, where was that filmed? I think streets of D.C. Or listen to like a 45-minute or 1-hour CD. Which would get his attention more, do you think?
Watching the DVD.
All right, well, tell you what, stay right there, Shelvia, all right? I want to send you a free copy of the DVD. It was my TV show, Think It Through, that we did for 2 years, and this is the DVD version of the Acharit message. It's illustrated. It's me on the streets. We're talking to people. I just want to send it to you as a gift, but please do me a favor. After you watch it with him, and I assumed, unless he was a very unusual 13-year-old, that watching a 22-minute DVD would be much more up his alley. Watch it together with him. It may lead to some things to talk about. And shoot me a note if it seems to make any impact. And Lord, we pray for this young man, for fresh fire, for an encounter with you, that Jesus would be so real to him that nothing would distract him or pull him away. Thank you, Lord, for this godly mother. May your blessing be on the family. Amen. Shelvia, stay right there. Andrew's going to get your contact info, and we'll send this right out to you as a gift. Rena in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Rena. I'm calling to tell Pastor Brown I love him.
Well, you're talking to him now. Thank you for those kind words.
Thank you. I enjoy you every day. This is what the world needs, to tell the truth. I'm glad that you talk about holiness and the truth. And this is why the church is dying today. I'll sit back and I'll see how they're bringing the world into the church. And they think this is going to help the church. The church is a hospital. When people come in, they are healed. They see the difference. But when they see the same, what's going on in the world, it leaves them no impact. And I want to say, I pray that the Lord will pour blessings on your head and your family, because you're a great asset, and keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rena, so much.
I really enjoy you. I enjoy you. I enjoy you. Praise God.
Well, Rena, it's my joy to come your way every day on WMCA in New York City. Rena, thank you for the kind words. And there are, of course, individual churches that are dying, and you're right. They try to become like the world to win the world. So what do you do? You tell them, what are they coming to? How are they going to be changed? You know, if I'm at some Alcoholics Anonymous presentation, I'm a leader, and I'm there stone cold drunk saying you've come to the right place. What hope is there? No, you want to show people changed. Reach out to people where they are in compassion. Make the worst sinner feel loved the moment they walk in the door. But show them changed lives. The good news is the Church of Jesus is not dying, but yeah, you're right. A lot of churches are dying, and that's because they've departed from the gospel. Thank you so much for the kind words. Well, let me read a poem that I wrote to you in the midst of the intensity of repentance, holiness, life transformation that took place during the Brownsville Revival over a period of 4 or 5 years. It's called Pablum from the Pit. Coochie, 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 coo. God loves me and God loves you. Smile, sinner. Don't be sad. God's not angry. He's not mad. Even when you leave the path, there's no hell and there's no wrath. So don't you fear. Just do your best. Judgment Day won't be a test. God sees your heart and that's enough. The judgment seat won't be that tough. For you can't sin away his grace or take that smile from his face, because God is love and love is good. He'll treat you like you think he should. Just trust me, sinner, to the end. My name is Satan. I'm your friend. Oh, yeah. Wake up time, friends. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5, wake up, you sleeper, and rise from the dead. and Christ will shine on you. Messiah's light will shine on you. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, Jesus said to the church of Sardis, to believers, you have a reputation for being alive, and yet you're dead. Wake up. Wake up. Got an email from a listener who said, your words have pierced my heart and awakened me from slumber. She said, I was just listening to a feel-good gospel for so many years, a feel-good message. She said, it was like a sugar high, but it didn't really feed me. It didn't really cause me to grow in the Lord. And she's now returning to her first love. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Back with more. In fact, I'll play a clip from Rob Bell when we return.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Let me suggest something to you. Many of you are frustrated with the direction of the church. You're frustrated with the lack of clear gospel message coming forth in many circles. You appreciate the work that we're doing here on the Line of Fire broadcast and multiplying disciples through Fire School of Ministry, helping raise them up, send them out around the world. In fact, it's a year ago today that one of our spiritual sons, one of our grads, was murdered by Muslim terrorists serving on the mission field with his wife and several other couples, all graduated from our school, left behind a widow and two little children. Everyone continues to follow Jesus. The teams continue to reach out to the Muslim world. We just can't talk about that much because of the sensitive nature of the work and not wanting to endanger those that are still there. But if you believe in the work that we're doing, friends, if you believe in the message that we're putting forth and you say, I want to do something, want to make a difference. Well, of course, you can make a difference by living this out wherever you are. You can make a difference by being determined to stand for truth and to speak the truth in love, and to walk with Jesus and to be an example. In fact, next hour, you can catch it later online, next hour I'll be talking about how to make a lasting difference with your life. But I just want to say this. One thing you can do is partner with us to make a difference. One thing you can do is less than $1 a month or $1 a month, become a torchbearer. Give at least $25 or more per month as a monthly supporter. And then we send you a new message every month and key prayer updates and praise reports. You get free access to our online classes. You get, in addition to that, 15% discount in any items in our online bookstore. So we sow back into you, but you're helping me. Maybe you like what I've said on the radio today. Well, as a monthly supporter, you'd actually be helping me say that right where you live. Or with a one-time gift, some of you have money, you're praying about what to do with it. Well, we're a worthy ministry. The funds that come in don't go to pay salaries. They go right back out into outreach, reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, doing this radio broadcast, raising up disciples for the nation, seeking to awaken the church in America. So stand with us. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. We do need your support so that we can be on the station that you're listening to right now and making a difference where you live. To do it online, to stand with us online, go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on support. Well, as Pastor Rob Bell, and we pray for a conviction of truth and an awakening through the Word in his own life, as Pastor Rob Bell has now officially said, yeah, I support a man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman, as long as it's in marriage. They love each other, want to be faithful. I support that. It's not really a surprise at all with so much deviation from Rob Bell in recent years. This is what he said last year at a Q&A event.
We're here in West Hollywood, epicenter of a lot of gay culture, and you're asking, some people are gay, and you're our brothers. And you're our sisters, and we love you. We love you. And it's really, really, really important that we're clear. I had a good friend when I was in my teens who was gay and hadn't told anybody. And I was the first person he told. And probably the most loving, generous, holy, one of the most, he was extraordinary, is extraordinary. But at an early age, I was like, some people are gay. And God loves them just like God loves me. And they're passionate disciples of Jesus just like I'm trying to be. So let's all get together and try to do something about the truly big problems in our world that I believe Jesus would have us band together and tackle together.
All right, so that's his position. No surprise. Now, if he was talking about someone who's same-sex attracted and is not acting on his or her homosexual desires and recognizes they're wrong and is looking to God for grace to live a holy life and either is living a single life with the Lord or is being changed by the Lord and desires are becoming opposite sex attracted and now they're pursuing a relationship with the opposite sex, that's one thing. But if he means, which apparently he does, and to say it in such an unqualified way, he obviously does, meaning you can be a practicing homosexual, or the same thing would be a practicing fornicator, or practicing adulterer, or practicing alcoholic. In other words, it is the behavior, it is the acting on the desires, not struggling with a desire that we recognize is wrong, but acting on the desires. If you say you can do that and you still get in, that is a terribly deceptive and dangerous message. You say, what about once saved, always saved? Here, real simple. The promises, we're not going to debate that right now, so don't bother picking up the phone. Plus, we only got a couple minutes left. We debate that more another day. But just understand this. All the promises in Scripture about our security in Jesus are given to those who are obedient children of God. Did I say perfect? No. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and follow me, and I give them eternal life. What about those that don't follow him? The only promise is if you repent, he'll have mercy on you and welcome you back. But how can you lose your salvation if you once had? How can you be a son one day and not? Don't worry about the theological questions right now. Just understand, if you say, Lord, I want to please you, I am not willfully sinning against you, willfully going out and sinning and refusing to repent, Lord, I want to serve you where I fall short, I repent. You got nothing to worry about. He's promised to keep you. He's promised to keep you. He's promised to be with you. If you say, well, because I'm saved, I can then go out and do whatever in the world I want to do, danger. Because the promises are given to his sheep who know him and follow him. Take rest in the Lord as one of his sheep and be warned if you're not living as one of his sheep. The good news is his mercy is new every morning and he's ready to receive you and welcome you if you turn to him. Friends, many are praying for awakening and revival. You need to know what revival looks like and how does it come and what are abuses of revival and what's the difference between the true and the counterfeit. We've put a series together, 16 messages and a book. If you got them separately, I don't know, $70, $80 of material, $20 postage paid. You get the CD to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player and my book, The Revival Answer Book, just $20 postage paid, practical and life-changing. But call today to take advantage of this, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, a defective gospel message will always produce defective fruit. If you want to know where the problems are, get to the root. Do you know that your life can make a lasting impact, whoever you are, whatever your background? You can leave a legacy behind you. Today's show, I'll give you practical tips on making your life count. for this world and eternity.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, something interesting happened this weekend. It was personal, but I want to share it with you because I believe it'll be relevant in your own life. I turned 58 on Saturday, and it was kind of low-key. By design, Nancy was going to go up to see some of our family in Maryland, spend time with them. I was just going to have a relaxed day, get some time with the Lord, get prepared for ministering on Sunday at my home congregation. Had a celebration anniversary birthday on Thursday. But what happened on Sunday was that I was presented with a book from folks in our ministry team, folks in our school, congregants, Fire Church, just with notes of appreciation to me on my birthday. And that was joined to the, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of greetings and birthday wishes that were sent to me online. And as I read some of these, I was reminded that our lives can really count and make a difference. Every one of us, no superstars in God's kingdom, that every one of us can make a difference. And most of the difference we make is not so much through our public persona, but through who we are day in, day out. Michael Brown, thank you for joining me today on The Line of Fire. I want to give you some practical tips, down-to-earth things that will help you make a difference with your life, that will help you live in such a way that when you leave this world, there will be people indebted to you because you have brought positive change to them. And I'm speaking in particular to all of you who know the Lord and are followers of Jesus. If you don't know him, that's the place to start. Find out who he is, find out who this Jesus really is, and come into right relationship with him. And if that's you and you're seeking and looking, by all means, let us know and we'll be happy to help you. Here's a number to call if you want to share some practical wisdom, how to make a lasting difference, how to live a life that counts. If you want to share some of your own practical wisdom or ask me a practical question, here's a number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I also encourage you to check out an article that I wrote, posted it today, adapted it from my book, Go and Sin No More. It's called, What's the Difference Between Holiness and Legalism? What's the difference between holiness and legalism? You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, clicking on The Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to the latest article. I shared this the first hour. Let me share it again this hour. This was posted on Facebook. It meant the world to me. From a woman close to my age, about the same age, who remembered hearing me on the street where she lived in Island Park, which is right next to Long Beach, South Shore of Long Island, about 30, 40 minutes out of New York City. She remembered me walking down the street with a friend preaching the gospel to her at the age around 15 or 16. So I would have been 16, newly saved. She said she never forgot it, made a lasting impact. Then she said 20 years later, she heard me preaching at a church on Long Island. Now she's a believer. And she got delivered from smoking cigarettes that day. Then some years after that, she visited Pensacola, Florida, where I was part of the Brownsville Revival. And I prayed for her and her husband to be able to have a family. They've had four kids since. And I thought, wow, what an incredible blessing. What an incredible privilege to have been involved with One Life in so many different ways over those years. It reminded me, you know, if you stay steady, God can really use you. You can make a difference. Every one of us can in Jesus. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's that saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. Just read this quote by Abraham Lincoln. In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. Ephesians 5, Paul urges his readers to make the most of every opportunity, or as others translate it, redeem the time. Psalm 90, prayer of Moses, the man of God, according to the superscription. He prays, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. 866-348-7884. Welcome to the Line of Fire. As we talk today about how to make your life count, how to live a life that counts, that in the end, there'll be a legacy. In the end, people will be looking back and saying, wow, you impacted me. Wow, you changed my life. 866-348-8664. So I was presented with a book on Sunday, complete surprise, with short words from different people. Short words about what my life has meant to them, or how they've worked together with me and the impact it's had. There were younger people, there were older people. And I was moved by it. I told Nancy last night, I told her just today, she's up in Maryland with some of our family for a few days. I told her about it, and I said, you know, it's really been inspirational to read that, to encourage me to burn all the more brightly for the Lord. But I want to say a few things to everyone here, because everyone has a different ability to have an impact in a different way. In other words, I can be having an impact on radio right now. You might be raising four kids. You can have an impact on those kids in a unique way. We each have our sphere of influence. And if you are shut in and alone, you can still influence the whole world through your prayers to Almighty God, who's much bigger than a radio broadcast or anything else, as we understand. But let me give you some principles, simple principles. I want to share some quotes with you, edifying, challenging, inspirational quotes and principles. The first one is this: don't underestimate the impact you can have, for better or for worse. Don't underestimate the impact you can have, for good or for bad. Don't just think that nobody notices your life. Don't just think that your life doesn't have an influence. Don't just think that you're kind of a nobody. You're just working your job. You're just raising your family. You're just minding your own business. You really don't know what could happen from your life. An example that I've often used through the years about parenting was from one chapter in the book on the Effective Father. One chapter, what was the title? Not a Day Wasted or No Day is Wasted, something like that. But I remember the incident very well. And I've shared it on and off over the years. I read the book as a young father, and this illustration stayed with me. And no, I did not live up to it perfectly by any means, but I was often reminded of the illustration and sought to live by it. And the story was told about a famous American a number of generations back, would have been in the 1800s, an influential American leader. It was the late 1700s, early 1800s. That's the part I didn't remember. And he often made reference to a special time he had with his father. Just later in life, he'd talk about, yeah, you know, my dad and I went fishing one day, and the lessons I learned from my dad that day, or the time we spent together, it changed my life forever. He would make reference to it, how impacting that day was. And years later, after his death, his biographers wanted to find out more about this and got the journal, were able to find the journal of his father, and went to that particular day. And in the journal on that particular day, it was written, this is what the father wrote, "When fishing with my son today, a day wasted." Isn't that remarkable? A lot of fathers hear that and it cuts right to the heart. A day wasted. The son was changed by the day. The father didn't even see the significance of it. Don't underestimate the impact for good or for bad that your life can have, that your words can have, that your example can have. You really never know. You really never know who's watching you. You really never know who's listening to you. I heard a great story from my friend, apologist, evangelist, Lee Strobel. He talked about sharing the gospel one time. He was in a store, and he shared the gospel with someone, and the person had absolutely no interest in hearing it. And he went through all his arguments for the existence of God and all his arguments for morality, whatever it was. I mean, Lee's got it down. He went through all his arguments, and whoever he was talking to was completely nonplussed, completely unimpressed, just nothing. So Lee thought, great, I give it my best shot. I don't even affect this person. I give him all my great points, and nothing even happens. Great. Well, sometime later, he meets someone who got saved through that event. You say, oh, the person he was witnessing to came around? No. This guy was on his hands and knees, as I recall the story, working in the store, putting tile on the floor, repair, whatever it was, and he overheard the whole thing, and he ends up getting changed by it. You don't know who's listening. You don't know. Look, when I went to my high school reunion, 25th high school reunion in 1998, Long Island, graduated from West Hempstead High School in 1973. When I went to the reunion, I met people there who told me that watching me get saved and transformed in high school, I was not an author then, I was not a PhD then, I hadn't preached around the world then, I hadn't written any books, I wasn't on the radio or TV, and on and on and on. In other words, not that, by the way, not that that means anything, that means zero. I'm just saying I was not through some influence that we don't all have. This is just being a teenager who got saved. And then a few of them told me that just when they saw me changed and heard me preach the gospel and stir my zeal, they never forgot it, and some years later they got saved. By the way, just a quick little anecdote. We were asked at this high school reunion to send a current picture. To make sure that when we came, they had our yearbook picture from when we graduated. And I sent the organizers a track of mine from LSD to PhD that had a picture of me from before I was saved and then a picture of me, more recently. And they said, oh, we love it. Could we get extras? We want to give them out. Well, when I get there, to my mild shock, at every table, they have these LSD PhD testimonies. In other words, it's going to look to anybody coming in as if I was the guy that set it up, as if old Mike Brown, too aggressive, just trying to evangelize us, just trying to convert us, just like he did in high school. And there they had them on the tables. But some people came up to me afterwards, and in fact, they said at one table, of course, I wasn't invited to sit at the table, but at this one table, they had a discussion about who was the most memorable character from the high school. We had maybe 1,200 students. Who was the most memorable character? And they all voted it was me. From how I was before I got saved and the level of sin and the way I lived till how I was after I got saved and by God's grace, the life that I lived, the most memorable character. But then at the end of the night, they just, it's kind of dance floor and different ones hooking up, some that weren't even married to each other. They're just hooking up. They're married to other people, but hooking up there and smoking and drinking. And I was just kind of standing on the outside and thought, wow, this feels like the way it did back then, that I shared the gospel and some were won to the Lord. But otherwise, people lived their sinful lives. I was on the outside. But all that to say, you don't know. Look, words you speak to a kid and the way you speak those words, you don't know the impact they'll have. when you extend forgiveness and mercy with compassion, you don't know the impact that has. When you demonstrate who Jesus is and not just preach about him, you don't know the impact that has. It's really quite remarkable when you realize that God works through human beings and he doesn't work through superstars. The excellency of the power, Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, the excellency of the power is ours. That's why God puts it in earthen vessels. So my first point, just a general exhortation to you today, don't underestimate the impact you can have for good or tragically for bad on other lives. And don't count how many. Every life counts. Have an impact where you can. All right, I'll be back with a lot more. Integrity is coming next.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what kind of impact are you having on others? What kind of impact? If you were taken out of your situation, out of your family, out of your home, out of your job, out of your ministry, out of your congregation, out of your neighborhood, out of this world, would there be any sense of void? Would we be missing your influence, impact? Would some people be glad to see you go because you drain others and never contribute? I want to encourage you today that your life can count and must count because through Jesus, we are called to be world changers. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. 866-348-7884. If you've got practical words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listening audience, great to call in on a day like today. As I was reading notes from people who were sending me birthday greetings and thanking me for the impact I'd had on their lives, one word that I saw over and over and over and over was the word integrity. Thank you for your integrity. I wrote an article a couple years back about what Americans are looking for in a president. And I did a survey after I wrote the article. I did a survey on townhall.com. By the way, I posted an interesting and a little bit different article I posted on townhall.com today called The Scandal of a Jewish Pope. You'll find it fascinating. Trust me, you'll find it to be a very, very interesting read. Just go to townhall.com. The Scandal of the Jewish Pope is what the title actually is. So check it out, townhall.com. But anyway, I did a survey. I asked folks to tell me what they were looking for in a president. Was it education? Was it courage? Was it business acumen? Was it world leadership experience? Was it peacemaking abilities? Was it economic astuteness? Was it a good family? You know, I didn't give choices, but what could the different answers have been? And I would say that without question, the word that came up the most was integrity. And I think after that, character, which is closely related to that, maybe courage. Integrity. Please hear me. Please give me your best ear. No matter what your marriage situation is, no matter what is going on with your family, no matter what sickness you may be fighting in your body or financial crisis you may be fighting in the bank, regardless of the state of the church group that you're part of, regardless of whether you're employed or unemployed, no one can take your integrity from you. No one can take your character from you. No one can take your commitment to your convictions, to be a person who stands for what is right, a person who does not simply yield to the pressures, a person who is not one thing on the inside, but another thing on the outside. Gandhi said it's easy to stand in the crowd, but it takes courage to stand alone. No one can take your integrity from you. No amount of outside pressure can do it. Look, there's only so much pain a human body can endure. There's only so much loss that we can experience financially, physically, before we're just out on the streets destitute. People can take our lives. They can kill us. We can die physically, but nobody can take your integrity from you. You can't blame anybody for a compromise of integrity. It's between you and God, and God can help you to stand. I don't mean every day risking your life. That's not what integrity is about. Think of Job. God commends him for his integrity. In Job, the second chapter, his wife challenges him. Are you still holding fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Job holds on to his integrity, and God says of him, the very thing the wife attacks him for is the very thing God commends him for. God says to Satan, to the adversary, Job is still holding fast his integrity, even though you're moving me to destroy him without cause. What was the nature of Job's integrity? How did he demonstrate integrity? He was true to his beliefs and his convictions, and he was the same on the inside as he was on the outside. He was not a spiritual and moral chameleon. Now, some of us always think we're right. We're self-righteous and dogmatic, and the whole world is wrong, and everybody's an idiot and a jerk aside from us. Well, we need to cultivate some humility in our lives. But there is a world of difference between being a person of integrity, a person of real character, a person of honesty and genuineness, a person that's going to hold steady to their beliefs and convictions even when society changes and the world changes and the polls change. Billy Graham said, "The legacy we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives." What preparations should we be making now? The greatest waste in all of our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day. I want to urge you, whatever state of life you find yourself, if you're pastoring a megachurch in your city, if you are helping in the nursery every Sunday, if you are a caretaker for an elderly dying parent, whoever you are, I want to encourage you, walk in integrity. Put roots down in terms of right and wrong in your own life, and be a person who's genuine. The greatest impact we're going to have is one-on-one, the people around us and the people that see how we live. Set an example, moms and dads. Set an example, school teachers. Set an example, spiritual leaders. Be a man, be a woman of integrity. So years later, people will say, "Hey, thank you for your integrity." And you'll think, "Wow, I had no idea. I had no idea." Friends, as many around the nation are praying for awakening in the church, are praying for revival, it's so important we understand what real revival is. It's so important we understand what counterfeit moves of God are. It's so important we understand the place of holiness, repentance, and prayer, and how to test for genuine revival. We have a 16-message series. If you bought the messages individually, I don't know, $50, $60, plus my book, The Revival Answer Book, which helps you know how to discern contemporary movements, get them all together, one CD and the book, $20, postage paid. You listen to this on your computer or your MP3 player, and then the book, you take in your hands and read. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go online to our bookstore, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore, or again, 1-800-278-9978. You'll find this as life-changing as it is practical.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is one of my favorite quotes from Leonard Ravenhill, who went to be with the Lord in 1994 at the age of 87, and who was a dear friend and father the last 5 years of his life. To me, one of my favorite quotes from Brother Len: the greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy, then put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. Yes. I want to talk to you today about how your life can count, how you can make a lasting impact for good. I'm not talking about for evil, for good. Whether you have public ministry or not, whether you are known or not, whether you have 80 million people following you on Twitter or you don't even know how to tweet. I want to talk to you about how your life can make a lasting impact. 866-348-7884. First thing, don't underestimate the impact that you can have. And the second thing, be a person of integrity. Be true to your convictions. Spiritual, moral chameleons don't impress anyone. This is some of what I covered the first half hour for those just tuning in now. Third thing, if you want to make an impact, it's not all about you. Focus on others. It's not all about you. Focus on others. No, nobody praises selfishness. Nobody says, you know, you changed my life. Watching how selfish you were really helped me to be a better person. Oh, maybe by learning from a negative example. But otherwise, nobody praises selfishness. Obviously. Now look, I want to be as forthright with you as I can be. I'm not a pastor. I pastored a church for several months, years back, and I've been involved in different aspects of pastoral ministry, but I'm not a pastor. When I was in Alabama last week, the pastor of the church for whom I was ministering talked to me about how he loves pastoring. He's been pastoring for decades, and he says, I love being with people. I love being with people in their time of need. And I thought, that is so special. That is so remarkable. I have friends that are like that. They are real shepherds. They'll come into a room, maybe they just went across the hallway at some gathering, and they come back in the room with a bottle of water in their hands, that's for them, and they see a new person, and they say, hey, here's a bottle of water for you. Well, I know, you just went to get that for yourself because you were thirsty, but you saw someone else and thought, hey, I'm going to give it to them. There are some people that are just wired like that. They're always putting others first and looking at the needs of others first, and you tell them your problem, and, oh, they're just so cut to the heart by it, and it's on their mind for days and weeks, and they're calling you every few hours to see how you are. That's just who they are. That's not who I am. That's not what comes naturally to me. And I'm very consumed with the call of God. I'm very consumed with the burden he's giving me. I'm very concerned with getting the work of the gospel done. But I do love God, and I do love people. And I found that if I will simply make it a habit to focus on others, that because I do love them and I do care about them, that I can be pastoral in that sense. Oh, no, not a pastor. No one's going to mistake me for one in that sense. But I was down at National Religious Broadcasters with Nancy a couple of weeks ago, and a young man came up to me, wanted to thank me for the impact I had on his life when I spoke at his Bible school of, I don't know, 1,400 students. And he thanked me for the messages and the impact the messages had. He said, but something else. He said, you were only one of two speakers that ever came through my school that set aside extra time to get with the students. Because when I was there, I'd say, hey, can we find a time to sit around and meet? If you've got questions, you want to ask me and hang out with a small group. He said, you're only one of two that did that in 2 years I was there. And I thought, wow, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Focus on others. It's not all about you.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast, 866-348-7884. This Monday, just talking about ways where your life can make an impact. What got me thinking about this was all the special greetings and notes I got from people as I turned 58 on Saturday and was presented with a book from different folks in our ministry and church and friends where they'd written in it. Some sent things from other places. And look, I'm aware by God's grace that we're touching people's lives, but I was humbled to see different ways that we have made a difference. And it makes me look all the more at how we can touch even more lives and be even more effective. 866-348-7884. I've said first, don't underestimate your impact. You know, I heard a man preaching once. He'd been a pastor for years, but he said he was raised in the faith, raised in the Lord. His first name was Jerry. And his mother always spoke good things over him all the time. And he had a period of rebellion, and he got into sin, but he wanted to sin more, but he couldn't. Every time he tried to cross a certain line and do really wicked, evil things with wicked, evil people, there was this restraint in him, and he couldn't do it. He said, what was the restraint? He kept hearing his mother's voice. Jerry's a good boy. Jerry, you are a good boy. My Jerry's a good boy. Jerry's a good boy. And he'd try to do bad things, but that voice of his mom was always there. And, of course, she was a praying woman and prayed for him. Never underestimate the power of a praying mother or a praying father or a praying grandmother or a praying grandfather. So, first, don't underestimate your impact. Second, be a person of integrity. Be a person of character. Nobody can take that from you. And you can't blame anyone for lack of character in your own life. This has to do with choices you make before the Lord to hold to what's right. This has to do with choices you make before the Lord to act on what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. To be true. To be consistent. Not to be a chameleon. Not to change your stripes or colors based on what other people expect of you or the way they want you to behave. To be a person of real character. Number three, remember, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Focus on others. I have trained myself, because it didn't always come naturally to me, to focus in on needs that people share with me. Now, please hear me. I do care, but I don't always feel it the way someone else does. I'll give you an example. Someone will share a need with me, and then they want to talk to me what's going on with my life and so on. Sorry, I don't want to talk about my life right now. We got to focus on you. And then they'll share more with me, and I'll pray with them, and I do it because I care. I take the focus off me and put it on them because I care. Now, I may leave there and not be thinking about them all day and night because I'm just not wired like that, or maybe I don't have enough compassion. Some of my other friends, or Nancy, she'd just be so burdened and carrying that to the Lord and pained in her heart over it. Or my other friends pained in their heart. I may not be like that, but I genuinely care. And because it's so easy for me to talk about what we're doing in ministry, it's so easy for me to talk about what's happened on the radio, my latest article or book or ministry preaching trip or debate or this or that, or to testify to what God's doing. Oh, it's very easy. You want me to chew your ear off? Look, I'm on the radio because I'm a talker, okay? I don't struggle with trying to find content every day. Oh, no, I'm going to be on the radio. What am I going to say for 2 hours? No. Folks that are radio hosts are talkers. I could easily talk about myself, and I'm sure sometimes I talk about myself too much in a personal conversation. If you don't believe me, just ask Nancy. After 37 years of marriage, she'll won't take much time to think through an answer to that. But I'm saying, if someone like me, I'm not a pastor. I've been a spiritual father to many people by God's grace, but I'm not a pastor. If someone like me can recognize how to take the focus off of me and put it on others, you can. You just make a choice. Okay, I'm having a bad day, but that's not the focus. I'm having financial problems, but that's not the focus. My back hurts, but that's not the focus. Oh, it would be the focus if someone said, hey, let's go outside and do somersaults down the hill. Okay, then I can't because my back hurts. But if you just determine, okay, what's going on in your life? Hey, how can we pray for you? Hey, how are things in the relationship with your spouse? What happened with your kid that was sick? Make the determination to care about others. Look, people will tell you years later, you know, that really mattered to me. I don't do it for show. I do it because I care. But I'm telling you, I've had to train myself over the years to make it known that I care, because I could be so easily distracted with other things and consumed with things that I'm doing. So I'm saying, if I can do that, you can do it. And aside from, it's wonderful to take the focus off your issues, your problems. It's very liberating. Sometimes you look back and the thing that was bothering you isn't even there anymore. But it's so Christ-like. It's so much like Jesus. Paul writes to Timothy writes to Philippians similarly, that people just have in mind their own interests. They're concerned about their own self-interests. You have no idea when you stop and take an interest in someone. Hey, we had a family, and if you're listening, the awesome Thomas family, mom and dad and two great sons that I got to meet at FIRE yesterday, a family came to introduce themselves to me. They'd driven up from Atlanta. They'd come up to be at FIRE to hear me speak and to just take in a service with us. And the husband said he had met me previously at an event at Messiah College. And we chatted a little bit, got to meet his lovely wife, got to meet his two great sons. And I said, you know, I'm going to give a shout out on the radio to these folks, because they drove from Atlanta just to spend time and just to greet me afterwards. And then I noticed there was a tweet from the young man later in the day that we'd gotten to shake hands. And I thought, well, that is so neat. I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we did. Now, what's my normal habit after I preach? Well, years ago, it'd be just get out the door. I got stuff to do. I got books to write. I'm tired. I want to take a nap. No, but people count. Jesus died for people. This is eternal life. To know God, the only true God, the Father, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom he sent. Relationships are the substance of life. Knowing God, relationship with God, the substance of eternal life. What am I saying? Others matter. People matter. Look outside of yourself. You don't know 20, 30 years later. You hear somebody preaching on TV and they say, you know, there is this one woman. She worked in our cafeteria, but everybody else just nasty to us. You know, kids just, come on, hurry, because we were nasty ourselves and we'd make a mess. But she always smiled and cared about me. I never forgot that. And I found out she was a follower of Jesus. That's what got me interested in Jesus. You really don't know what can happen. Okay, next. Be an encourager. Oh, speak the truth. There are times to rebuke, there are times to correct. Be an encourager. Say something positive. Find something positive to say. If you say, yeah, but you don't know the person I'm married, you don't know the situation I'm in, you don't know. Now, it's true, I don't. One possibility is it's bad because of the way you are, right? The situation is really bad because you've messed it up. The other possibility is that it's a two-way street. But another possibility, you're a saintly, godly person, and your spouse is like a monster, or your work environment is hellish, and the people around you are nasty. I'm sure that that's the case with some of you. You say, I can't think of something positive to say. Sure you can, because God's mercies are new every morning. Sure you can, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you know the Lord, there's always something you can say that's positive. Find some positive scripture verses, verses of encouragement, verses of life. Say, hey, I was reading the Word, and it says that God's mercies are new every morning. Wow. But I was just looking at this. Isn't it amazing? God is love, and we know his love because he sent Jesus for us. Wow. Hey, isn't this amazing? That if God's for us, no one could be against us. If you can't find something positive to say about the person, then just say positive things about the Lord. But you can make a difference by being an encourager, by saying to someone, hey, I saw you make that effort. You tell your kid, you sit him down, I saw you make that. I saw when the other kid was nasty to you and tried to pull you into a fight, you just smiled and say, hey, I like you. Let's not fight and walk away. I saw that, and I'm so proud of you. To go out of your way, ask yourself at the end of the day, how many people have I encouraged? Even just when I'm checking out of a grocery store, when I'm checking in an airline, when I'm on the flight with a flight, I always try to speak encouraging, life-giving words, words of appreciation, something nice. Why? I want to bring this. I want to bring light. I want to bring joy.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's my question for you, friends. Is the world changing you, or are you changing your world? Is the world pulling you down, or are you raising the standard? Is the darkness coming into your world, or is your light coming into the world around you? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Look, my heart burns to be a world changer. I think in large terms, I think of the turning of my Jewish people, millions of Jewish people coming to faith. I think in terms of the gospel going to the nations and every tribe and people group hearing the gospel in a relevant way in their own language. By relevant, I mean in an understandable way in their own language and culture. I burn to see a moral and cultural spiritual revolution in America. I burn to see awakening in the church of the nation. All of America shaken. I burn for those things that I understand often the very most important thing we can do is one-on-one. And when I'm hanging out playing with the grandkids, they're now between 6 and 12 for grandkids, I want to have fun with them. I want to enjoy life with them, and how can you not enjoy life with your grandkids, right? At the same time, I want them to be able to look to me and look at me over a period of years as they get older. I can really have an impact on their lives along with the great parents that God's given them. Don't underestimate your influence as a mom, as a dad. Don't underestimate your influence as a teacher, as an employer, as an employee, as a pastor, as a teacher. Don't underestimate the influence, the impact that you're having. Friend, I want to encourage you to set an example. Set an example. Live in such a way that you can model 1 Corinthians 11:1. Right, that you want that to be your goal, where Paul said to the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of the Messiah. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Be an example. Set an example. Be determined that in a consistent way, you will model what is most important. Let's say you, for years, have read the books of someone who is best-selling author on successful parenting. And your favorite book was on cultivating respect. I'm just making these titles up to illustrate a point. Your favorite book was on cultivating respect. Yeah. Cultivating respect and how to get the children to respect the parents and so on. And you have the amazing opportunity through a friend of this author to spend a meal with the author and his wife and their kids in their home. And when you go there, the author of the book commands absolutely no respect from his family. His wife talks to him like he's a jerk. He carries himself as if he's an idiot. His kids talk back to him and don't listen to him. You'd think, what in the world? And I guarantee you, you're not going to pick up his book again for practical advice. You'd think, well, whatever. He didn't live it out. Be an example. Be an example. What are the things that you feel are important to others? What are the things you feel are important in God's sight? What are the things that you want to be known for? Be an example. Set an example. If you want to leave a lasting legacy, be an example. I said a moment ago, it's not all about you. Focus on others. Make sacrifices for others. Nobody praises selfishness. Nobody praises selfish people. And above all, remember the secret place. Can I repeat that? Remember the secret place. Remember the power of getting alone and praying to Almighty God. Remember the power of shutting the door. Look, if you've got to shut the bathroom door and it's the only place you can get any privacy in your house, if you've got to go out and take a walk, if you've got to drive in your car, if you've got to get up early or stay up late or rearrange schedule just to get in a place where you can get alone and focus, if you have to say no to other things that seem important but are not essential, remember the secret place, because first, when you get with God, you change. When you get with the Lord, you literally become a different person. When you get with the Lord, the realities of who Jesus is and who you are in Him come to the surface in such overwhelming measure that you are literally changed, that abiding in Him, you do become a very, very different person. And when you pray, get alone with God, spend time in His presence, you can ask God to work in the lives of others, and that's the most important thing you can do. Many people say, Mike, what are your needs? Well, we always have financial needs. Any of you listening that want to stand with us and help us stay on these radio stations and get onto more radio stations and help with our missionaries around the world and help us with our Jewish outreach, yeah, we have financial needs. So you're sitting on some money, send it our way, and we will turn it into eternal fruit for the gospel. But the number one thing I always tell people is we need prayer. Pray for me. Pray for me. And I talk to people that pray for me regularly, and when they tell me that, it means the world to me. I'll be out preaching somewhere, someone comes up to me I never met in my life, they said, Dr. Brown, we pray for you every day. We thank God for your ministry, we pray for you every day. I don't have words sufficient to express my appreciation to them. When you pray, you make such a massive difference. One father said, after raising his kids, now they're out of the house, if he had to do it again, he'd spend more time praying for himself than praying for them. In other words, if he could be a better dad, it would be even more effective than not being that good a dad and then praying for his kids to be better. But prayer for yourself and prayer for your kids and those around you makes a massive difference. I'm indebted to people. Some didn't even have a high school education, but they helped pray me into the kingdom. To this day, 41 plus years later, I'm indebted. Helen Keller said, I'm only one, but I'm still one. I cannot do everything, but I can still do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. And who among us has more handicaps to overcome than Helen Keller did? Friends, take advantage of a very special offer we have this week. 16 teachings I did on revival, plus my book, The Revival Answer Book, which will help you to understand how to discern contemporary revival movements. The entire series plus the book, just $20 postage paid. It's a very significant savings, and you'll get the entire 16-message series on one CD to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. So call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with an additional gift for our radio and world outreach, please do. 1-800-278-9978 or go to askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, do not underestimate the power of what your life can do when you yield yourself to God and your very body becomes a weapon of righteousness in His hands.